Earners, what's going on? Listen, EYLU is relaunching, revamping, retooling. That's right, we're creating a new educational experience that's more expansive. Shotty, tell them what we got.
Yes, 2023. We got a lot in store, a lot planned for you guys. So you know that EYLU already includes monthly financial planning calls with me, book club calls with Troy, real estate calls with MG the Mortgage Guy, access to the Home Buying Blueprint, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Part of the revamp will include 27 local chapters from across the United States, live interactive teaching, hands-on, not just pre-recorded videos, plus 15 brand new curriculums.
The biggest just got bigger.
Head over to EYLUniversity.com. That's EYLUniversity.com. See you there.
Ernest, what's up? Look, if creating content is more than just a passion project for you, it's time to make the passion profitable. With Kajabi, you can easily diversify your revenue, build your brand, and transform your audience into loyal customers. I know firsthand how challenging it could be to juggle content creation and business development, but Kajabi makes it easy to streamline everything in one place. As a creator, you are your brand, so your business should reflect exactly what you envision. With Kajabi, not only can you build your business your way, but you can also keep every cent of what you earn. It's an all-in-one platform that lets you focus on what matters most, your content and your audience. And let's face it, we all need a little help sometimes, especially when you're a one-person show. But you don't need to hire a full-time team. You just need Kajabi. Kajabi is a leading all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. Whether you're a coach, content creator, or educator, Kajabi makes it easy to transform your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, and more. The best part? Kajabi doesn't take a cut of your revenue. Everything you create is owned and controlled by you, so you keep 100% of what you earn. On top of that, Kajabi gives you robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates. Everything you need to grow your business seamlessly. And here's the thing, you don't need a massive audience to make sustainable income. Thousands of creators are making six and seven figures with Kajabi, even with less than 50,000 followers. So if you're navigating the challenges of generating revenue as a creator, Kajabi can be the game changer you need. Right now, Kajabi is offering an incredible deal, a free 30-day trial to help you kickstart your business. Just head over to kajabi.com/earn to get started. That's kajabi.com/earn. Join the creators and entrepreneurs who've made over $7 billion on their platforms and take control of your financial future with Kajabi today. kajabi.com/earn. Don't miss out on this opportunity to turn your passion into profit. Earners, what's up? Y'all know the adage, buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/earn. That's fundrise.com/earn. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
All right, guys, welcome back.
Yes, yes.
EYL.
What up, though?
We got a special episode today, man. Shout out to Detroit. Oh, you showed us a lot of love every time we go to Detroit. So Detroit versus Everybody is a brand that started to see probably like a couple years ago and kind of just went viral on social media and just, you know, through the culture, and has expanded to a lifestyle brand that encompasses more than just the original Detroit versus Everybody. You got Africa versus Everybody. Fire. You got all kinds of stuff. And we have today, we actually have the CEOs, co-CEOs.
Founders, CEO. Founders. Yeah. We actually just switched over. Sean's CEO over the past 8 months. They transitioned
Yeah, we got to talk. They ain't do too many shows. They got to talk into the mic.
Over the past 8 months, Sean's transitioned into CEO. Oh. I'm a fully over creative, and that's where we are right now.
Yeah, we never really dealt in titles.
Yeah,
it was just weird, but
job,
you know,
job done.
Yeah. So we was hustling, but then now, you know, in the business world, that stuff matters, I guess.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, Sean Xavier Williams and Tommy Walker Jr. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
And you gotta give a shout out to brother Ken.
Ken, what up, though?
Putting this together.
That's a fact, man. That's Detroit hometown welcoming.
For sure.
Every time.
So, all right, so you guys start with, it starts as a t-shirt line, right? Detroit versus everybody, right?
Yeah, it starts as a, in 2012, you want the story?
Yeah.
So in 2012, okay, so me personally as a designer, so I started off as a graphic designer. I branded Big Sean. I was doing design work for Interscope, Def Jam, Jive, you know what I'm saying, when labels were big during that time. So I worked on like Wale's project, Mike Posner's project, like back to Coney Simpson project, you know what I'm saying, like, and Key Wayne, you know. So mainly anybody who came out of Detroit during that period of time, I worked on their project back when MySpace was going good, you know what I'm saying.
Damn.
So in 2012, I got flown out to California to work on a project with Interscope, and I got off of the plane and went to the hotel, and I saw our mayor, Kwame Kilpatrick. Now, at that time, it was the tail end of the like a little scandal that was going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was front page news everywhere, but with it being the tail end of it, I just thought it was weird that I get off of the plane 2,200 miles away from home and I see that when I first go to the hotel. It was odd to me, you know what I'm saying? And got done with the trip, came back home, and it was like a chip began to grow on my shoulder, because during that time, we were like, you know, me and my folks and friends and, you know, comrades during that period of time were on like the leading edge of the creative revolution, that boom that's going on in the city of Detroit right now. You know, like, it was going on before it was getting promoted, like before it got any light shined on it. It was still, while it was going on, they were talking about us being a murder capital, and, you know, it was just all negative and all negative.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to use my platform that I was getting, the attention I was getting, to change the narrative to the true narrative of what's going on in the city of Detroit. And that's the one that's being pushed now, you know, globally. So, you know, Sean and I, we've been best friends since kindergarten. At that, we had purchased a failing screen printing company, maybe like
2011.
And, just being Rhodes Scholars, we just jumped in and started printing shirts. You know, now when you first get in there, you know, you got, you know, big dreams, but you quickly find out that, you know, manufacturing on your own warehouse is very expensive. It's an expensive game. So we bumped our heads a couple of times, and we had to take a little step back and, close down for a small bit. So then we closed down, took that time to like recalibrate. And that's when I took that trip. Then I came back and I was like, man, you know, this is what we're going to do. You know what I'm saying? I got the idea. I like to say I took the temperature of the city, you know what I'm saying? And diagnosed it, Detroit versus everybody, you know? But the versus everybody moniker, that ideology is something that I knew would have a place in everybody's closet. Like, that was my idea. Like, you know, what can I create that'll have the same effect as like the Ralph Lauren polo, to where it's like, if I don't never not want to wear it. I just want to get a clean one, you know? And, the versus everybody brand was created. So, that day when I, you know, had that idea, I had took the, screen print machine. I left my apartment. I went and got a loft, and I lived with the equipment. One of my mentors were like, if you live with that equipment, every day you wake up, every time you come home, it's gonna be a reminder of you to get that machine running, keep that machine spinning. So I went and got a loft, and I became a roommate with that machine. And one day, man, it was just like Detroit versus everybody. And so I went, printed it up, and one of my friends, who's a rapper, he was over that night, and he was like, man, let me go perform in this. I was like, all right, for sure. Now, we still just printing up shirts. I'm like, let me go perform in this. And he took it and then called me from the show. Like, man, I just gave it away. Is it cool if I give these people your number? I was like, yeah, cool. And then from that moment, it's just been a snowball effect, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. of people reaching out to us.
So it was more like a rally cry, right? So
it's a battle cry.
It was a battle cry for the city.
Yeah, and it was perfect timing because, you know, like I said, like that resurgence of the city of Detroit was just beginning, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Like, Big Sean is now about to become somebody, like the guy?
This was like after his first album.
After the first joint.
Yeah, I did all his mixtapes. Did all the mixtape artworks.
Yeah.
Up until the album. What year was that?
The album was like 2010-ish, 2011-ish.
So he was already making noise in the industry.
Right. And then his first concert was actually.
Oh yeah, that was our first opportunity.
So I'm working. So all this is happening.
Yeah.
We get the screen printing business, but I'm like working corporate. I study economics, actuarial science. Went to work as an actuary at Blue Cross. And so we're doing this like on the side. Like I'm doing this on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm going to work. I got ink in my hair.
Yeah.
He's laughing at me. It's like
crazy time. Yeah.
And so the brand started to move, right? And so like Big Sean's first concert was like December. He let us take some merch there to sell.
Hall of Fame tour.
And we sold out at intermission.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he was like, he called me like the next day, like, Sean, you gotta quit, man. You gotta quit your job. Yeah. So like I put my 2-week notice in on that Monday. They walked me out that Friday because it was like, because I'm still like kind of moving around like with the business. So they're like, you know, you just can't keep doing this. Like, you got to get out of there. So that's after that moment, after that Big Sean concert, that's like when we really started to explode.
This is interesting because this is a similar scenario. I remember when we were doing this and Shari was like, yo, man, you got to stop. You can't go there anymore. You're more valuable doing this.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. You're studying economics, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, hey, I need to have a certain amount of money before I can do it. Or you just say, you know what? I'm watching these sales. I'm going with my gut here. I'm not even setting the goals. Yeah. We're just going.
No, I went. Like, it was hard. You know, I got a family. You know, I got two kids. And I had good health insurance. I'm working for an insurance company. So, got good health insurance. I got good benefits. All of this. And it's like, he's like, man, forget that, man. Like, let's go. Like, just, and I'm like, I guess I had to make a decision. And I just did it. I'm like, I just went with my gut. Trusted him. It was a lot of trust. I'm like, man, I believe in you to make it work. So it was a lot of trust.
You're going
to
feed my kids, man?
I recognized, like, I didn't have kids at that time. I got one daughter now, but I was like, man, you know, like, I think we waited a little bit until we could, like, match. Like, he didn't, like, get out completely until we, like, matched it.
But it was after the Big Sean concert.
Yeah, sure. After the Big Sean show, yeah.
And then I didn't tell my parents for like 6 months. Because my parents were like, my mom was like African. She like, got to be doctor, yeah. Lawyer, all that.
Yeah.
And I didn't even do none of that. So she's still kind of disappointed that I didn't go that route. So it was like kind of hard telling them that I'm about to go do, you know, make t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. So Big Sean wears it on stage and it blows up, right?
Nope. We sold at his concert. Oh, it blew
that
up.
That was the first. We were like,
he didn't wear it on stage.
Not at that time.
Not on that show. The next shows. He did. He's been one of our biggest supporters from the beginning.
He said it in one of his lyrics, right?
Yeah, he actually was in the song. You know, we did that.
Versus Everybody.
Yeah. But then we had the Detroit versus Everybody song too. You remember that?
With Eminem.
Eminem, Dej Lo, Big Sean.
Yeah.
Y'all put
Danny Brown. Yeah.
I took that in a little bit. All right. So you sell. And the demand, like, what did the demand go to, like, from pre selling at his show to after selling at his show?
Well, it started going crazy, right? But it was like slowly but surely picking up. Like, we had to get a store because we were selling out of the loft.
We was out of loft on 4th Street.
So people
it was unsafe.
People just come
pull up.
They would call us, Texas, where, you know.
You just have a bunch of shirts made, and then you was just selling
here. We run downstairs all day. We run up and down the steps.
How much you selling shirts for?
At that time, $30.
Hoodies and tees.
For women and men.
Hand in hand. And then at one point, you decide that you got to get a store.
6 months in.
No, we got the store right after the concert, because it's like, I think, what was the store? Like December 12th or something like that is when we got the store. And we had a partner of ours that just believed in us. And he's like, man, he owned his family owned like the Greek town.
Christos.
Christos. And he gave us
shout out to Christos.
Yeah, shout out to Christos, my guy.
Are y'all figuring it out? Because you said it's $30. So like at this point, you're understanding the business of it. Like this is how much we have to sell it for to make a profit. Or are you just thinking like?
No, we're not thinking none of that.
This time people just like, yo, I'm gonna sell it for $30. They not realizing how much it even cost to make it.
Well, we were doing it. We were pressing it up ourselves. Oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we are on the screen press machines, because we had already purchased that building company. Yeah. So, at that time, we focused on just getting it out there, just serving as many people as possible. You know what I'm saying? Making sure that our quality is good and making sure that our presence on Instagram and stuff was good. Like, we had, like, the Detroit versus everybody hashtag that was going on. So, it was just really... It was snowballing into something that neither one of us could ever imagine.
And money's coming in, right? And we had to think about our safety. And and right now, I'm still kind of in the corporate, and I'm in law school too. I'm doing weekend law classes. So that's when we started thinking about the trademark. So I'm like, man, we got to protect this. So we do that. We come out of, we do the concert, we get the store. And then one particular day, I think it was like maybe March 2013, I get a call from like this random person. Like I'm at the store working. He's like, I like to place an order, an overnight order to California. I'm like, okay, cool. So she places the order and then she said, I need this overnighted like tomorrow. I need this here. And I'm like, well, I don't know how much that costs. She's like, well, don't worry about it. I'll just pay whatever. Just take my number. And when you go ship it off, you know, I'll pay you whatever. I'm like, all right, cool. So we did it. And I called him like, hey, man, I've got the random weird order. They needed a shirt overnighted to Cali. Is that something?
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, is that something that you said? I'm like, nah, because he had just came from Cali a couple months ago. So I'm like, maybe that's something he put together. So the next day they get the shirt. The lady called me. She says, I don't know if you guys watch American Idol, but you might want to watch it tonight.
It's out the blue. Hangs
out the blue. And then hangs up. So I tell our other partner at the time, like, hey man, just come to the store, we're gonna watch American Idol tonight. It's probably something big. And so we get to the store, we turn on American Idol, and it was Motown week. And Keith Urban, so I sent him a white shirt. He dyed it burgundy, and he had our shirt on. And it was like,
walk out like this.
It was Motown week, so he decided to wear the Detroit. They did like this whole Motown thing before, like lead up. He had the shirt on, and after that, like we couldn't keep up with orders.
The next week after that, then the
Colbert.
We're on a Colbert report. Who was Steven Jackson?
Yep.
Who was the editor at Detroit Free Press? Word on the Colbert report, and it just snowballed where it's like. It's something that visitors wanted to show that they've been in Detroit, and then travelers wanted to show that they're from Detroit. You know what I'm saying?
So did you ever think about, all right, so they just Googled Detroit versus everybody and your website came up, right?
Cool.
Like when you said that Keith Urban wore it, he didn't tell where he got it from. Like
no.
He would have to search to know.
Yeah.
They Googled Detroit versus everybody and then your guy's website or Instagram page came up, right?
Yeah.
Did you trademark it at this point?
So that's when I'm working. So I'm in law school at the time. And I talked to one of my professors about doing it, and they said, like, that's simple. Like, I can show you how to do it. So sat me down, showed me the USPTO site and made me an expert at because it's just a matter of putting it in. So I did it. I did our first two trademarks, like versus everybody, Detroit and, versus everybody.
So you trademarked Detroit versus everybody.
Versus everybody.
That's a little bit more complicated, right? Because that leads to anything to be versus everybody.
Right. Yeah.
That was an easy trademark versus everybody?
I mean, yeah. Like they went through and it's just a matter of having your specimens and all that stuff, like the application type.
So the specimens is like you got to have proof that you actually use it.
That you're using it in commerce.
With the tag on it.
Tags, registered trademarks.
And there's a few times. But this is the interesting part because when you do something so wide scale, it usually becomes expensive. Was it pricey to get? I know Detroit versus anybody is very specific, but mm-hmm. the verse could be pretty much universal. Anything versus anybody really is yours. So was it pricier to do that one?
It's pricey, not an upfront, but it's pricey on the back end, fighting all the cease and desist. So our legal fees, and that's why when we do anything licensing, like we do like a versus everybody for somebody, like we can't do it for free because there's going to be a lot of like legal stuff, paperwork, and dealing with my lawyers that's going to go with that. So on the back end, it's very expensive.
Time consuming, expensive, you know what I'm saying? Frustrating.
So when you got with Detroit versus everybody, were there other people that started making Detroit versus everybody shirts?
Yes.
And that happens daily.
Yes. Like what you learn is that it's a whole like industry of people that stand on the outskirts looking at what's about to happen.
Yeah, those domain buyers, like, I'm gonna buy a domain. You know those guys, like they sit there and they do this on purpose.
So that's what they do.
Talk about how you guys dealt with that.
It's so now. I mean, it's annoying, but I kind of settled in with it's like. I mean, at the end of the day, it's getting the message out there, right? And then sometimes they even turn into opportunities. Like we had a situation with the USA soccer, women's soccer. Two of the players did a USA versus everybody. Mm-hmm. And they were selling crazy. So we went to them, like you said, look, this is our brand. This is our IP. We're not coming after you, but like, let's just settle out on a deal. So we settled with them. Mm-hmm. And they paid us out. And then we just let them keep going. And they gave us a royalty. So sometimes you get opportunities like that, like even with the NBA. It happened a couple times. Like, they did a Noya versus everybody.
Yeah.
We didn't sue them. We just said, let's just settle. Like, pay us out and then give to, like, a charity.
And that's the thing. It's like, if you, you know, if they have a big name or, you know, they're, like, a team that they can't run, then it's a lot easier and it's more successful on the end with a payout. But it's like, it's the, you know, the people that's selling out their trunk. They're the ones who are like the half, so they're just like, it's just tough. And they know that, you know what I'm saying? And they'll build their whole life around that. Like, just one guy, you know, I opened up email, and he's like, man, hey, man, listen, I know this is wrong, but man, you know what I'm saying? I know this is wrong, man, but I just appreciate you, man. Y'all helped me get my daughter through preschool, man. Like, through private school. And it's like, I don't know how to feel about that. You know, like, is it honorable for you to tell us that you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, am I grateful to the Most High that I was able to help a child get through private school? You know, because at the end of the day, that's, you know, that's our funds, but it's just a dirty game. That's what you realize, is that it's dirty and you got to fight it whether or not you want to or not.
How much money do you spend on legal fees?
It all depends on like what's happening. Like we've been kind of dormant the past, I would say, 2 years, but at our peak, man, we're probably spending like, at least on top of the retainer, like at least 15K a month. Yeah. Cause I'm looking at it, it's like, this is crazy. Like we're paying like, and the lawyer, he's happy cause he's, but
it eats itself up. Yeah.
I ain't gonna front. Like I wore this shirt that you have on in Africa and we went to Jamestown. We were touring and we went to this art district and this dude.
You met my guy. That's my guy. Rasheed.
Yeah. He told you?
So he posted it. Okay. Rasheed's my guy. Every time I go to Ghana, I go to Africa a lot, right?
Okay.
Rasheed's my guy. I met him in the art district and gave him and his guy some shirts. I'll show you the picture later.
Yes.
And now he's like, he calls me like, Sean, because we were supposed to do some events. So he posted on his WhatsApp.
Okay.
And I had just given you guys the shirts. And I'm like, how do you know that guy? I sent him a picture and everything. I'm like, how do you know? He's like, yeah, man. I thought about you and I wore it.
It's crazy. So that day I wore it and he took the picture and obviously sent it to you, but it made me think like internationally, obviously you're fighting this domestically, but like when you're trademarking, because even in business, most people don't know that, right? They think that they trademark it and I own this forever. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah.
It's a fight.
It's a fight domestically, but then you got to do it country by country too. So like how's that process been? Obviously not as this is Africa versus everybody.
So I've been, so the trick is we have like we have an international trademark, right? For like e-commerce, right? So we can sell, we own the brand, like no one can sell it online. We can shut them down. But when you go into different territories or different spaces or different like countries, you have to assign it if you're selling there. So I've been going, like, as I've been moving around, I've been assigning a trademark. So I've signed it in Liberia. I did it in Ghana. I'm in the process of doing it in Nigeria and South Africa. So it's, that's important, but really the main territories that you need to be protected in is like the UK, US, and the EU. Because that's where, like, most.
I'm about to say China. A lot of conflict.
You can't really fight that.
You know? What you do is, like, what you find out, though, is that if you can show that you have prior usage in any of these areas, if you can show that you have prior usage in any of these different areas, then you pretty much won the battle.
Yeah, and then, like, we're talking about some deal in Dubai right now, and I asked the lawyer, like, so what about the trademark? She's like, well, as long as you get a business registration here, you don't have to worry about that, because they govern their trademarks and stuff a tad bit differently. So what I've learned as I've even been going and signing, I'm like, as long as I focus on US, EU, UK, and make sure that's tight, everything else will fall in line.
So, okay, so you have Detroit versus everybody, but what made you have the foresight to do just versus everybody? Because versus everybody is going to be a much more broad range situation as opposed to Detroit versus everybody. So whose foresight was that to trademark or even envision versus everybody just in general?
It was
That was, like, creatively, I always want to do things that have legs, like, you know what I mean? Like, one of my favorite shows is, like, Seinfeld, and it's crazy to me that it's, like, a show about nothing, you know? But it's, like, it's seriously, it's an amazing show. So I just really, before I brainstorm, I'm like, okay, this, I want to have it a place in everybody's closet, you know what I'm saying? Don't matter the age. I want it to be something that doesn't get stale, you know what I'm saying? I want something that is reborn every year, you know? And it's, like, our brand is, you know, even outside of fashion or just, you know, fresh shit, it's a battle cry for any sports team, you know what I'm saying, for any company in any industry. I've never seen a brand, you know what I mean, that has access to as many different industries as we do. And I just knew from the jump, like, okay, if we can get this foundation with Detroit, then people are going to look from the outside in and be drawn to that message, because it's pretty much just the underdog message to everybody. It's a moment in your life in which you're going to feel like you versus everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
There's, like, a few moments just in culture where you think about there's a slogan for resilience.
Yes.
Like versus everybody is definitely one. I feel like Not Like Us is one of those. We going to be right.
Yeah.
One of those ones. I saw it at the draft. The draft was in Detroit.
Yeah.
I'm seeing the t-shirts everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
thinking about myself. How do you approach partnerships, right? Obviously, there's some that just fall into your hands because of trademark issues, but how do y'all approach partners? Like, if the Knicks go crazy and it's like now, you know, it's New York versus everybody. Like, how do you guys go about that?
So I'm gonna use U of M, Michigan, University of Michigan.
Oh, yeah, that's hard.
You went to Michigan State, right?
I'm in the Michigan State. Go Green. Yeah. Go Green.
Okay. I just want you to say that before you said that.
Yeah. So we did U of M, right? So we started maybe about 2 years ago. A guy by the name of Jared Wangler, he works with the Valiant Group. He used to play football for U of M, and he started this marketing firm. And he wanted, this was when NIL first started getting traction. He's like, man, we should do we have the Michigan license. Let's do a Michigan versus everybody and then give some of the proceeds back to the athletes. So we started, like, we played around with it a little bit and it was hitting. So we stopped it because, like, it was kind of hard for us to police it. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of action at that time. Like, we were going into the deal with Gucci. So we did a deal with Gucci, like the Gucci brand. And so we kind of pivoted from that because, like, we got to focus on this Gucci stuff. Like, we put a lot of...
See the hat.
Yeah, so we put a lot of energy into that because I'm like, this is like a partnership that could really help us in the future. So we stopped the U of M play. But then this year, end of last year, Jim Harbaugh went through that scandal. He got suspended for like 6 games. And so Jared called me, like, Sean, we gotta do this Michigan versus everybody. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, we just gotta make it make sense, but, you know, let's so we talked for like 3 days, and then, you know, like, the game was coming. I think it was like the first game, I think I want to say it was the Penn State game. Mm-hmm. He's like, look, let's just do a short-term deal, get it out there. So, like, we did it and it went crazy. So in that situation, to answer your question, like how we approach the partnerships, like we usually come at it from, we'll do like a licensing, like payout, like a licensing fee. Mm-hmm. Sometimes companies don't want to pay it up front. Mm-hmm. And we do that because like we have to pay like the legal fees. We got to go like, and we just want to make sure we're protected and that the brand is just not out there misrepresented. So usually we start with like a licensing fee, but sometimes we settle like with profit sharing, or we'll do like, like right now we're doing in-kind partnership with Afronation, where we're just exchanging IPs and using it for visibility. So that's like how we attack most of them. But at the core of it is just with doing like a licensing fee.
So, what's more profitable for you guys now, the versus everybody licensing fee or Detroit versus everybody?
It depends on the season. So like if it's Q4 and we're talking Christmas time, like Black Friday, it's the Detroit versus everybody, because everybody's filling up their stockings and buying all the gifts. Like people, like the sales are crazy. But then when it's like sports season, it's like it's the licensing, like, because that's the thing. Like, so it's like I'm constantly fighting the battle of like, are we doing licensing? He's getting mad at me, like, Sean, we just can't do a versus everybody. Everyone. And I'm like, well, we can, because, you know. And so it's about to get real interesting, because we just got a store in DTW Airport. Mm-hmm. So a couple of days ago, actually, Eastside Golf, they were like in the same package as us. So we're doing a store in the DTW store in the Centerlink. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Detroit.
But the merch was in the airport.
It's in there. Yeah. It's there, but now we're getting our own store now.
Okay, yeah, because I've been in the airport. Yeah. This is crazy. Shout out to Ken. My flight got reconnected. I had to go to Detroit and it was chilly. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, I don't got no. We were packing to go to Cancun.
Yeah.
So I actually ended up buying it inside the airport. So y'all licensed it to that store inside the airport.
Yeah. But now we got our own brand.
Now we got our own store. So it's about to get interesting, because that's going to be a space where people can come for sure buy the merch, but we've made it an interactive.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Hi, I'm Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesac and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Imagine learning from the best without the years of struggle. On my podcast, I sit down with stars like Montel Jordan and Sarah Blakely to share the hard-earned lessons that can save you time and effort on your path to success. Ready to speed up your success story? Listen to Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson wherever you get your podcasts.
Store. So like, we'll be promoting our different versus everybody's. And that place has like, or that airport, it's like 30 million people that go. I don't know. That's what they told me. It's like 30 million people that go in that airport yearly. Mm-hmm. So it's going to really open the brand up, because you've seen it. Like, that's like the first thing you're going to see when you're going into Detroit, right? You're mm-hmm. going to see our brand right here next. I think they're building right now. So our store is going to be like when you're walking in to Detroit or leaving out of the airport, it's on the left side and right next to Starbucks. So it's like mm-hmm. the first thing you're going to see.
So even when you get off the train, you got to walk past.
You got to see this, right? So
coming or going.
Right. So that is going to get interesting, because we're going to get a lot of like traction on the versus everybody side, and also on the Detroit versus everybody side.
So how do you track, like, let's say the licensing, let's say you do 15% or 20% or whatever, right? How do you track that though?
That's what I'm saying. That's why that's why the Michigan deal like doesn't go that far, because it's hard to police. Like, once they say they want to start doing their production, now I'm hunting them down for, like, you know,
receipts, all that. It's on the integrity of the partner. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's easy as a skew. Like, we can crack a skew.
Yeah, so it's not that simple. So that's why we like to keep it internal, right? So we were doing production before. We like to make sure we're controlling it. But then that's why I'm always balanced. Like, well, I want to control it, but I still want to get the brand. I still want to get that, you know, that payout.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm constantly battling.
Is it a thing where it's like, okay, I'll let you use it, but I gotta have access to the Stripe, and we're gonna co-manage it on the back end so I can see deliverables and stuff like that.
In situations where we have like pop-up shops and stuff like that, we'll handle it like that. But like, you know, if we're doing like a deal with like the NFL or the airport, you know what I'm saying? Just somebody who already has their infrastructure or manufacturing together is not that simple. We kind of got to go like off of their integrity in a way.
Yeah.
So that's why you don't do as many.
That's why we don't.
Because it's tougher to track.
Yeah.
So, but how did you, I mean, a Gucci collaboration is a pretty big one.
Gucci, they're great partners too.
Yeah, how did that work?
Well, so they contacted us, this was like, I would say 2019-20, and they were coming to the city. They have a store now, so they were bringing like a store to the city. So they were pretty much just checking out the scene, tapping in with, you know, the different local brands, and our brand just stuck out to them. And so
it was Antoine Phillips, yep, who was our rep, who connected us.
Yep.
He said that he came to the city and he was looking for a brand to work with, because, you know, at that time, again, they were coming off of the race. Yeah. It was about 3 months late, 3 months after that, you know what I'm saying? So I met, you know, and it was diversity and inclusion. That, yep, was the time of that, you know. So he came to our store and he said, man, when I walked in store, you know, that I knew that this was the brand that we needed to collaborate with, you know. And it's like my main thing when I was communicating with Antoine was like, hey, you know, this can't be a project in which it is just a one-off, a one and done. You know, you have to set us up for success. You know, you can't come in here as a brand, as the OG brand, and use us to manipulate the public for your benefit. You know what I'm saying? And before he even came to us, he knew that. Like, that's, you know, it's like their the interaction that we had with Gucci was not like anybody would have assumed. Like, they really care.
Yeah, you know, and they about their business too, and they showed it. It's like the bigger brands, they show you the respect that you're supposed to have, and then you start dealing with the people, like,
and it's like, what the fuck?
And it's like,
what you doing?
They don't want to pay you. They want to, like, it's like, but then Gucci, man, they took us. We went to the spring summer fashion show, Louisville, like,
kept us doing it every 2 weeks. Took us to the Gucci hub.
Yeah.
At that time, it was Alessandro Machiele was the creative director. We got to sit with him for a couple of days. We had hands on. We were hands on with the manufacturing, mm-hmm, with the model picking. It was just like they really didn't try to take over the brand.
Yeah.
So it's the Gucci versus everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did 12 markets with them. We did Gucci versus everybody. We did Toronto versus everybody. Detroit. LA,
Miami,
New York,
New Orleans,
yeah,
San Francisco.
Yeah, it was 12 of them.
That was 10.
All right,
are they still doing that?
No, those sold out.
It was limited, very limited. Like, even I heard a story, like, Mariah Carey was trying to get some New York shirts, she didn't even get them. So, it's like,
so are y'all still working with Gucci?
Yeah.
In what capacity?
Well, right now, they have they just created a installation at like the Siren Hotel in Detroit, Michigan. So, right now, we're in the process of figuring out our next collaboration, our next release.
What was part of the first capsule? Like, I see the hat. It was the t-shirts.
We did the t-shirts in the first capsule.
The t-shirts, it was like the Gucci.
Yeah.
That was the first
drop. That was the first year.
This is the second drop.
This is the second drop. We did hats. We did luggage.
Yeah.
We did backpack, a duffel bag, and a fanny pack.
Yeah.
Oh, fire.
So what was the feedback? Because I know that it was a lot of controversy on social media when you guys worked with Gucci, and they felt like Gucci was, you know, trying to just appease black people, mm-hmm, wasn't sincere, and people might have thought that you guys sold out. So what was that feedback from the audience?
It was all love. I mean, of course, you saw the, you know, but you expect it.
Yeah, I mean, I call it, you know, just the hate. I mean, you see that, but I think for the most part, just who we represent as people, like, because people know it, like, you can come to Detroit and, you know, if you're from Detroit, you can touch us. Like, we're accessible, right? Like, our store is right in the heart of the city. You'll see me or him. People can call us. Like, we never left our people behind, right? So we always collabing, always doing things with people in the city. So for the most part, I mean, everybody loved it. Like, everybody, it was more so like, man, they're mad at us. Like, why can't we get a shirt? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't control the production on it, but like, it was more so that as opposed to like us selling out.
How much does that relationship open the door for other relationships inside of big fashion houses? Have other brands approached you, like, after the success of this capsule? Or as Gucci said, look, I know we did limited, let's expand a little bit more. Has it increased the relationship that you have with them?
Yeah, we kind of like married in with the Gucci family. Even, you know, with the moves that they make in Detroit, they running past us, you know what I'm saying? But as for like collaborations, you know, with other brands in the city, we like to use our platform to do that. And like, you have our store, you know, we let them use our store to, you know, promote and sell items and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But
so the activations.
Yep.
So, okay. So talk about the song.
The song was, okay, so the Detroit versus Everybody song, what happened was Paul Rosenberg gave me a call and told me that he was interested in doing a song with Eminem, and then he ran these different artists, the rest of the artists past me, which were Royce da 5'9", Dej Loaf, Big Sean, Danny Brown, and asked us if we wanted to, you know, we put him in contact with our lawyer, Joe, and then he wanted us to see if we could get a cameo in the video.
So they couldn't use Detroit versus Everybody on a song?
At that time, They could have, but out of respect.
But also, we did a collab, which, so we did Shady versus Everybody.
Yeah.
Prior to that, so we did like a Shady versus Everybody on like what was it? I think it was Black Friday, mm-hmm. and we sold out in like an hour, and it was like, this is crazy.
We kind of had a rapport.
Yeah, we had a rapport.
I had worked on the Eminem and Rihanna project too earlier.
Yep. And then we did the Monster Tour. I think that we did some more Shady versus Everybody's, and we sold them at Comerica Park when they came to this leg. Oh. So we already had some traction with them, and then that just made sense at the time. Eminem was coming out with his album, and he wanted to do that dedication song. So they came to us and like, look, can we do this? And then they negotiated. And then, you know, Tommy, I think you and Will had a cameo.
We had a cameo. That's
dope.
So how'd that help sales?
It wasn't like you just saw immediate impact, but now it's just like, oh man, you guys are on the Detroit. Like, yeah. So you hear. So, cause like a lot of, it kind of pulled us into a whole different demographic.
Recognition, you know, it was like, you know, it made the socially, you know what I'm saying? It was like a really huge step for us as a brand, just, you know, just with our, just covering ground.
Yeah. This is important because we've seen this happen, especially businesses in our community. And even people who've come on the show is like, sometimes they scale too fast. Mm. And so after the American Idol moment, after the Sean moment, first you get the store, but you're not pressing those t-shirts out your house anymore, right? Like, out the loft. Like, at what point do we realize we're scaling, so, and we got to catch up to this?
So we had purchased the failing screen printing business, so we had one machine. So, but as we, now, twofold, at the same time, we were also focusing on like a manufacturing company. We had this manufacturing company, Saluki Printing, in which we were printing for other people in the city. So our that leg of the business was growing at the same time, and DVE was allowing us to fund that and by hiring up more screen printers. Mm-hmm. So at that time, we might have had like three manual machines at that time as we worked towards our automatic press.
Yeah.
and we were handling ourselves while Sean was out making deals with other manufacturers. Just, you know, because it's hard to find a manufacturer that you like, you know what I'm saying? So we were trying different people out and, you know, letting them do fulfillment and for online sales and stuff like that as we maintained our quality, you know, in-house.
We are doing manufacturing domestically?
Yeah. So we got this other store. At some point, we had like seven stores. So in one of our stores, we had actually had a manufacturing presence there. Okay. And then as we started to, like, things started to move, like the partnership started to happen like crazy.
B2B.
The B2B. So, and then those orders are bigger, you know, than the, you know, just normal, like 200s, like sometimes we're getting like 5,000, 10,000 shirt orders and you got to knock those out and you can't, like Mr. Allen's, like there was like this local brand. Or local like sports company. So they have like 15 doors. So they'll come in and it's like one of my biggest invoices I've seen ever. Like the first one.
They feel like they just found us first. So they want to make sure that, hey, everybody, y'all can get us. They were trying to, you know, forget about their store. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like come to us. You know what I'm saying?
Man, they placed an order for like what, 5,000 pieces? First order? And I'm like, this is a $100,000 invoice. Mm-hmm. So trying to print that in the store where you got it's all cluttered. Mm-hmm. So we end up after that situation, we end up getting a warehouse that was like right on the cusp of Detroit. I think it was like 8,000 square feet, 10,000, 8 to 10,000 square feet. It was like 2,000 for like office space and then 8,000 for like the actual warehouse. So we end up getting that and then bought an automatic press.
Changed a lot.
Expensive.
Changed a lot.
Oh yeah, it was expensive. But and that's when I realized like, man, the cost of production is crazy. Like we're spending like for the rent, we're like $4,000, and it's like $2,500 for the electric bill and the gas, and then you're paying for your employees and you're paying for the merch.
And DBE take off so much till we not focused on printing the rest of the other customers. We can't, you know, it's like we can't handle you guys. We had to handle ours, so that other income wasn't coming in. It was just completely. Are us going out.
So how quickly was it? Was it profitable right away?
I mean, yeah, we never came out of profit, really. I mean, we always stayed ahead of that. Like, we used to pride ourselves on saying, like, man, we don't really have that much debt. Like, we've acquired some over time just because of, like COVID kind of set us back. Mm-hmm. But prior to COVID, we we had
it was impressive.
Seven stores, and we shut down. We actually shut down six of our stores going into the Gucci deal. And this was like right at the top of 2020, right before COVID. And we caught a lot of flack for it. Like we was in the news, like they were bashing him in the news. Like we had 75 employees. Like we cut down on like 15 like employees on TV. Like, yeah, they did us dirty. And
it was crazy.
And so COVID happens and they're like, we look like geniuses.
But y'all knew? Y'all knew it was coming already, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But then COVID happens and then it kind of slowed our traction up. Like, I was scared to, like, I'm in the warehouse by myself, still pushing out orders, trying to make ends meet, make sure we can keep our, you know, because I don't know, like, we didn't know that there was going to be, like, a moratorium. This is, like, right at the top of COVID.
And then we did the COVID.
Oh, and then what saved us was everybody versus COVID-19. Like
switched it.
So we switched it up. We did everybody versus COVID-19 in partnership with the city of Detroit.
Let's talk about that, because we got a whole another leg that we have, like our philanthropic leg. So it's like we have everybody versus COVID-19. We launched it with everybody versus
injustice,
you know,
it's political unrest. And it just happens. So George Floyd happens there.
Right.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
So every time, like, so we also trademark everybody versus. And so we would use everybody versus for like any social campaigns.
Everybody versus cancer, everybody versus heart disease, everybody versus arthritis. Like, that's another leg for us to to work with.
And so we did that during COVID, everybody versus COVID-19, man. Like, and we did mask.
Crazy.
That, it was like, man, okay, this is what's going to keep us going during COVID. So that we rode that wave for like, I'll say 8 months.
We did a concert with we had like 50 artists in Detroit.
Yep, a digital concert.
Digital online concert that was powered by the city of Detroit, you know what I'm saying, promoting the Everybody versus COVID-19 project.
So, okay, so as far as the future brands, plans for the brand, is it always gonna be versus, or is it gonna be something where the versus is not even in, you know,
well, a certain point? So the way we're building it now, it's like three components. So we got Detroit versus everybody, right? Which is, I like to say it's his baby, right? Because he's been in this like inventive capsule for the past 3 years of how he wants to tell the story of Detroit versus everybody. Because you had a point, like, how can we keep up with the business? We never was able to really tell our story, mm-hmm. or what the brand, like, everybody else was just taking it and saying what it was and what they wanted it to be. So now he's kind of taking a step back. Like, after Gucci, he was like, look, we got to put our best foot forward. So he's taken a step back and he wants to tell Detroit's story, right? And so he's working on that. And then I'm working on, you know, everything wholesale licensing. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other component of where we have, like, I would say goodwill, right? And the reason why I call it goodwill is because it's just like this gray area of business that needs to get captured, right? So of course we got our licensing and our wholesale, but there's so many other worlds out there. So like you have the everybody versus, right? Like, and that's nonprofit world, but we're not a nonprofit. So you have everybody versus, then you have what I'm doing in Africa. Like, Africa is not a place to where I can go and wholesale t-shirts. Like, it just doesn't make sense, mm-hmm. financially. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't go there and do a licensing deal. Like, I think you guys posted some the other day. I was looking and said $100 million of revenue was made in Afrobeats, yeah. but only 2% of that revenue went back to the continent. Mm-hmm. There's another stat, because I've been, like, I travel a lot. I went to this business conference in South Africa last year. They said 90% of the revenue made off the resources in Africa leave out. Only 3% comes back in. Mm-hmm. So it's the same deal. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm looking at this whole space here, like Africa versus everybody, all the other versus everybody. We want to use the brand as a platform to help, to assist. Even though we're not a nonprofit, our partner Jeffrey Aronson, he always says, we're a double bottom line business. Okay, we're for profit, but we're also for the people. Mm-hmm. So we're using that goodwill space as our vehicle to help. And that's the space, like, ultimately where I think the brand is going to live. Like, of course we can, Detroit versus everybody is cool. That's, you know, that's our bread and butter. That's like the culture.
That's what we want every year too. Right. Sports, any sport.
Right. Versus everybody, that's there to make the money and the licensing and sustain the brand. Yeah. But then you have this other piece where, like, we really want to help. Like, we have a voice, we have a platform to really help. To put it all in.
It's interesting because, as you guys were saying, like, obviously we know the Africa or whatever versus everybody, but the everybody versus, even from a health initiative, and I'm not sure if you guys are doing it, but like every month is something. Right? Mm-hmm. So, like, as I'm thinking, like, October is breast cancer. So, like,
we did that, everybody
versus diabetes, everybody mm-hmm. versus autism, changing the colors of the shirts. Is that like part of the business plan too? Like, every month there is
we've done it. We just haven't went full scale with it, but we've done it. We've had a partnership with American Cancer Society.
Right.
We've done heart disease. We just did something with African American Wellness Founded. So they're based out of Columbus, but we did wellness for everybody. Mm-hmm. So like, we got so we play around with the different for everybody's, like,
we also have everybody loves as well.
Yeah, everybody loves. So we did Everybody Loves Cannabis. Yeah. We did Everybody Loves
that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did Everybody Loves R&B. We did that the other that was like an R&B festival. Yeah.
So how many trademarks do you have on that? You got the versus, everybody versus.
Yeah. Detroit versus everybody.
Everybody loves. Versus everybody.
For everybody. And then we play around with different classes throughout those.
Yeah.
So, like, classes meaning, like, media.
Well, like, you got hard goods, you got t-shirts, you got leather goods. Like, yeah. I mean, I think it's, like, what, 50 different classes? Mm-hmm. And then you got services. And so we're about to really dab into, like the services, because, like, the class 35 and 41, that's, like, for me, that's the next progression, especially doing the African stuff, because mm-hmm. that's going to get the message out, right? Mm-hmm. Live events. So that's why I kind of focus on partnerships with these African festivals. So like Afro Future, Afro Nation. Like,
so talk about that. What's the partnerships that you have with those?
So we've done the first festival we partnered with was Afrochella. Now it's Afro Future. Shout out to Abdul. He gave us the opportunity to use the brand, bring the brand to the Afrochella. I think this was 2022. And we sold merch and we sold merch there and we did an Afrochella versus everybody shirt. So that was like the way, cause I'm like, for me to even make Africa make sense, I gotta it has to be visible. And that was like the only way to make it visible. Mm-hmm. And then I caught wind of Afro Nation and I started moving around with them too. And so for me, it was just like passing out merch. And then so we did Afro Nation Miami. We just took some, we took I'm a Piano versus Everybody and Africa versus Everybody.
So that they gave us those shirts actually in Grammy weekend.
Yep. So that, yeah. Sorry. I think Vito gave you one of the shirts. But yeah, we actually trademarked I'm a Piano, the word I'm a Piano.
So you trademarked that word?
Yeah. So we own.
So you own the word?
Yeah.
So how does that work?
We don't know yet, but
we're going to figure this out.
We trademarked the word.
Cause in South Africa?
We trademarked it here in the U.S.
In America.
Yeah. And so so we have this brand because, and it wasn't more so of a business decision. It was like when we went to South Africa, we saw that I'm like, I'm listening to this music, but it's like, it's not Afrobeat. So a lot of people don't know the difference between Afrobeat and I'm a Piano. And so, but it gets absorbed. I'm a Piano gets absorbed in Afrobeats. So we saw it as an opportunity to showcase these I'm a Piano acts. Mm-hmm. And so we built like a site, like we did the trademark. We built the site I'm a Piano versus Everybody. And so this site is supposed to showcase like the I'm a Piano acts in that whole world.
That's why. How often, that's something we have to learn too. How often do you have to renew your trademarks?
It's every 5 years you have to like do some maintenance on it.
Each one?
Yeah, each one, yeah.
Okay. And you guys gonna be on InvestFest?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. We
what's that about?
So we're coming to InvestFest. We have a vending situation, but we don't want to focus just on merchandise. We want to focus on like our different experiences, because I mean honestly, that's what InvestFest to me. That's what InvestFest is. It's like, you know, it's not just me selling to a consumer. It's not direct to consumer. I'm actually talking to other businesses, other individuals, investors, angel investors, mm-hmm. that might want to help push to play. So that experience is going to be mainly showing like what we're doing with Versus Everybody and Africa Versus Everybody and how we're building those experiences up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We got a package. I saw the Invest Versus Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries.
Right. Yeah. EYL Versus Everybody. Appreciate that. So how are you finding that, obviously corporations, but our entrepreneurs, this is a new journey, a new endeavor, especially in our community where we're seeing a lot of entrepreneurs and small businesses. Have they reached out to you too? Is that something that you guys are interested in?
Reach out to us in terms of
like having their brand versus everybody and maybe licensing from the small business aspect.
Yeah. And that's like like I said, remember I said earlier, like the big business, like they'll pay out, right? Yeah. They understand.
They had to cover it.
Right. But like the small businesses, it's hard. It's really hard to deal in that world sometimes because they don't understand that they have to pay. Like I'll tell them, I won't say who the business is, but they'll contact us and they'll say, well, we want to do this versus everybody. And I'll say, well, you know, there's a licensing fee with that. And I give them license fee. Like, well, why would I pay? I'm not going to pay that. Why would I pay that? But then they still want to use it. It's like, well, okay, let's talk. Let's, you know, so then we start negotiating and sometimes it's just, I mean, more times than not, it doesn't work out because mm-hmm. they just don't understand that, you know, you have to pay our price. Like, and so just one guy, he was even like, well, I looked at you guys' valuation online and it just didn't match. And it's like, well, that's something totally, like, you're not acquiring equity here. Like, you're buying a service from us. So it's like really what we make the price. And I'm just not throwing this price out of nowhere, you know, like there's a reason why we have to do it like this. And mm-hmm. so they don't really understand it. So sometimes we let it ride, like if we want the relationship, or sometimes it's like bartering, like, you know, we'll let you do this if you do this for us. So
how much is your license fee?
We start at 50K. And then we either work our way up depending on what the scope of the project, or we work our way down. And then that's when we just explore other options.
Yeah, you said the valuation. So you said it's been profitable. How's revenue been post the pandemic, right? You took a hit in the middle of the pandemic.
I mean, we're just not getting our bones back for real. Last year was tough because we actually lost our store. Our store collapsed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it collapsed.
Yeah.
Structurally, yeah.
Yeah.
The wall fell.
So that we took a big hit with that. But then we actually our partner now with our current store, Olympia Development.
Shout out to Olympia.
So they're like a part of Illich Holdings that owns like Little Caesars brand, Little Caesars Arena, the Tigers, Red Wings. They actually partnered with us, and our store now is in the District of Detroit. So prime real estate. So now we're starting to get our bones back. And things are like, this year is probably going to be one of the most profitable years we've ever had. So, things are looking up, but I'll say COVID to like 2022, 2023, it was, yeah, we got to make this work. So
yeah, return.
That's a story for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate y'all guys for coming in, man. Very insightful conversation. How can they tap in? Like, what's the socials? What's the website and all that?
You can catch me at Tommy Walker, at TOMMEY Walker on Instagram, and Detroit versus Everybody LLC on Instagram as well.
Sure. Yeah, you can find me Sean SEANX Williams I, and then also Africa versus Everybody LLC. And I just want to shout out our other partner, Mark Russ.
Shout out to Mark.
Yeah, Mark is supposed to be here today. He came on as our CFO, and then now he's morphed into like our VP of branding and marketing. So just wanted to shout him out. But yeah, that's where you can find us at. Yeah.
Yeah. When y'all have the store up and running, like it's back.
Oh, it's back.
Yeah, it's back.
Do y'all have pictures in there?
Yeah.
I want to make sure that our pictures up there.
Yeah, yeah. We got pictures in there.
I'm gonna show you the one.
Man, actually, y'all invited out, man. If y'all got time, we're doing a block party leading into Afro Nation on August 16th. So we're doing a block party.
Okay.
And we're doing a panel discussion at the store.
At the store?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm gonna bring the picture with me.
All right.
Shout out to Detroit.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, thank you guys for rocking with us. See you next week. Peace.
Peace. Yes, sir. Peace.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.